Let us pray as we come to God's word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your servant Simeon. Thank you for keeping him so faithful, so expectant. And thank you for the grace you showed him in letting him see the baby Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to see, and we pray for people we know that you'd open their eyes to see who Jesus is. In his name we pray. Amen. This famous incident in Luke 2 is known as the presentation of Jesus at the temple, and it's over the centuries has inspired painters and musicians and poets. For example, here is a painting. I hope you can see it. This is by a Dutch painter, done in 1672. And you can see, hopefully, Simeon kneeling in the temple with the baby Jesus in his arms. The light and the colours draw our eyes immediately to them as the main characters in the scene. And due to the whiteness of the robes and the baby clothes, Simeon and Jesus almost glow. Pictorially, it's suggestive of Simeon's words that Jesus will be a light to the Gentiles. Simeon, you can see, is gazing towards heaven, presumably praising God and for allowing him to see the Saviour that he'd so patiently waited for. You can see he's surrounded on the right, behind him and to the right, by scribes and temple officials, and some are consulting books, probably the law, the Torah, and discussing what Simeon has just prayed and said. They're looking a little mystified, maybe one or two are looking a bit angry, perturbed. They're disputing perhaps what's going on. But on the left, there's a little boy in red, and then to the left of him kneeling is Mary and Joseph. And Joseph is holding two doves. You can't quite see that, I'm afraid. And those are the sacrifices that are for he and Mary in accordance with the law. And way to the left, possibly can just see her shadow, her outline, a lady with her hands closed in prayer. That's the prophetess Anna, who you meet in the next part of Luke's Gospel. And you get a sense from the composition of how the painting works that even as a baby, Jesus commands attention. He takes centre stage. And he leads some men and women to pray, to sacrifice, to praise him. And he leads others to dispute and argument right from the beginning. So you get a sense from a painting like this that here's a child who won't go unnoticed. Now, today we begin this short series, which I've called The Young Jesus, as we look at some of the early life of Jesus from Luke chapters 2 and 3. And this will take us through the season of Lent and will help us prepare for Easter. So let me go back to the passage and see what we learn from that. First thing that comes through in the first three verses is that Jesus comes from a very devout family. Mary and Joseph are devout Jews. They do everything that the law requires of new parents. According to Leviticus 12, when a woman gives birth to a son, she is ceremonially unclean for 7 days, has to stay isolated, and then on the 8th day, she's able to take the boy and he is circumcised. And Mary and Joseph have done this. Then they have to wait the appropriate length of time, 40 days in total, for Mary to be ceremonially clean. And then they are allowed to go up to the temple to present Jesus to the Lord, as you see in verse 22, and consecrate him to God, as it says in Exodus 13. So what they're doing in this is it's a dedication ceremony where the firstborn male of every family is dedicated to the Lord, remembering that first Passover when God passed over the tribe, the people of Israel, and didn't kill the firstborn of Israel, but did the firstborn of Egypt. So then in memory of that and in gratitude to that, every firstborn son of Israel is dedicated to the Lord. So they're going up to the temple to do that, to dedicate Jesus. They're also going to the temple to offer sacrifice for Mary's purification following childbirth. They're poor, so the sacrifice is the two doves. If they were a wealthier family, they would be sacrificing a lamb. Now, it's good to remember that Jesus was Jewish and he came from a devout Jewish family.
His conflicts with Jewish leaders later in the gospel stories are not because he is anti-Jewish per se, but because he's serving his Father in heaven, to whom he has been consecrated and dedicated from birth. And this leads him inevitably into conflict with the Jewish leaders. Secondly, we meet a patient prophet. Simeon is a devout and godly elder. He's not called a prophet as such, unlike Anna, who is called a prophetess, but Luke describes him as a prophet. We notice the work of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's life. Verse 25, we're told the Holy Spirit is upon him. Verse 26, he receives revelation from the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he's moved by the Spirit. Simeon is an older man who has been waiting patiently for a day like this, and we get a sense that the Holy Spirit must have been prompting him and speaking to him on this day, saying, Simeon, go to the temple. Don't go and do your shopping today. Go to the temple. And so he deliberately goes and he waits there at the temple. What's he been waiting for? We're told in verse 25 he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's as if Simeon's life has been one long Advent season, waiting patiently, praying, watching, believing that God would come and console Israel. God would come and help Israel. The word consolation means sympathy, compassion, comfort. Simeon has been coming to the temple all this time, waiting for God to do something to change things for Israel, to help Israel. He's expectant that the Holy Spirit would reveal to him one day what God is going to do. And you look at verse 26, what he's looking for is the Lord's Christ. Notice that title, the Lord's Christ. He's been waiting patiently, believing that God would send a Christ, a Messiah, an anointed king, to come and console and comfort Israel. And now he takes this baby, and he sees in this baby something that nobody else in the temple presumably sees, and says, here he is. Here is the Lord's Christ. This is what God has sent to console Israel. And like the shepherds and angels earlier in chapter 2, in those passages we often read at Christmas, and like Anna, who is to come, Simeon is one of the early witnesses to Jesus' identity. He doesn't just see a baby, he sees the Lord's Christ. All the other visitors to the temple that day didn't see that. They may have seen a baby, they may have seen two devout and devoted parents, but few saw what Simeon saw, because the Holy Spirit opens Simeon's eyes. It takes the work of the Spirit to see Jesus for who he is, that he is the Lord's Christ. Now let's think about this just for a minute. It requires the Holy Spirit to truly reveal Christ to someone. This is a work of the Spirit. This is why you and I cannot argue people into becoming Christians. Logical argument and reason can help. We can help answer people's questions. We can remove ignorance. We can change misinformation. We can deal with maybe past hurts and all of that. We can discuss. We can explain. But ultimately, it requires the work of the Spirit for somebody to look at Jesus and go, this is no ordinary person. This is actually Christ, God's means of salvation. So that's why we keep praying. We need God to open hearts and minds. We need God to reveal Jesus to our family and friends, to the rest of Melbourne, and we need God to empower our ongoing mission work and evangelism. Next, we hear that Jesus is a light to the Gentiles. Simeon has received revelation from the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he takes the baby in his arms, that is who he sees, and that is who we are meant to see, the Lord's Christ. I think it must have been a beautiful moment for Simeon. I think his heart must have been pounding when he was given this little baby by the two parents. And it re-emphasizes what the angel had told the shepherds, that today, quote, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. That's back in verse 11. And so Simeon raises his voice to praise God in these famous words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, he's saying, I'm happy to die. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon's thanksgiving tells us that when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God's means of salvation. Jesus is the only way of being saved and of being put right with God. This is no ordinary baby. The other thing Simeon tells us is that this salvation is for all people. He praises God because Jesus is not only for your people Israel, which is what he was hoping for, the consolation of Israel, but also Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That phrase that picks up the words from Isaiah 42. Now that is truly a prophetic proclamation, as none of the people in the temple there would have thought that their Messiah, their Christ, would also be for the Gentiles, for the non-Jews, for people like you and I. But this is what Simeon sees because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to him. Jesus is a light for the Gentiles. He shines in the darkness and shows us the way to God, themes that are picked up very strongly in John's Gospel. In the church calendar, this celebration of the presentation of Jesus in the temple is often celebrated on February the 2nd, and it's sometimes seen as the end of the Christmas period. It's sometimes called Candlemas, because in the service, in many of these services, candles would be blessed as a way of reminding us that Jesus is the light. For Simeon, the waiting is over and he can now depart in peace. Nunc dimittis. Now you may depart. What a wonderful moment for a faithful old man. If you've been with us for the series in 1 Kings, what a difference between a faithful old man like Simeon and an old man who gets it a bit wrong like Solomon. You remember that in 1 Kings 11? God has kept his promise to let Simeon see the Saviour, and now he can depart in peace. But before Simeon departs, he has some troubling final words, particularly for Mary. He says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." He's saying that to Mary. So Jesus may be the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, but he's not going to be universally welcome. This prophecy of Simeon's indicates that there is pain and suffering ahead for Jesus and for Mary. Jesus will be the cause of both falling and rising in Israel. Some, like the apostles, presumably will rise to the situation. They will welcome Jesus and devote their lives to him. Others will reject him. And I wonder if Simeon is thinking of words like Isaiah 8, where God is described as both a sanctuary, a place of safety, but also a stumbling block, something that causes people to fall. Excuse me, language that it will also be particularly picked up when Jesus comes on that day into Jerusalem and when people are welcoming him, but we sing from Zechariah that he's also a stumbling block. Jesus will cause division as some respond positively to him and some reject him. Israel will be split in its reaction to Mary's son. Jesus will lay bare their hearts, and as he does this, some will repent and others will not. Some will think he is arrogant and blasphemous and set out to destroy him. So imagine if you were his mother. There's no doubt that you would carry a lot of pain as you watch what happens to your son. No mother would want to endure what Mary is going to have to endure watching Jesus. Not only is he going to get himself into lots of trouble, but she is not going to understand everything he does. He will be so devoted to his Father in heaven that his earthly family will think he is in fact mad. And then he will die a terrible, lonely death. So there is a bittersweet tone to what Simeon says. Jesus is the Lord's Christ, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. But he is also a divisive figure whom some will reject. And is this not our experience as well, as Christians, as church? When we do mission, we are telling people that Jesus has come for everyone. We're saying, this is good news, you're very welcome, come, rejoice, here is salvation, here is good news for you, that it's a gift for every person regardless of their background. And you'll be praying for people that you know, you'll be praying for family members or friends or colleagues who don't know Jesus. You may have invited them to the recent Christmas services or some event here at St. Alfred's. But we also know the pain of people staying locked in their unbelief. Some we pray for just don't seem to budge. Simeon warned Mary right from the start that this would happen. Jesus would be the cause of rising of some and falling of others. And although this will continue to cause us pain, at least we know this is the reality. This is the spiritual battle that we are in. God leaves people to make their decision, and our job is to continue to make Jesus known as best we can. I said at the beginning that this passage has inspired art and artists over the centuries. Can I just give you three suggestions that you can look up over the week coming? One is a poem by T.S. Eliot called The Song of Simeon. T.S. Eliot was an English poet. He became a Christian in the 1920s, and not long after this, he wrote this poem about Simeon. The second is a painting by Rembrandt called Simeon in the Temple. If you look that up, you'll be able to see it much more clearly than the one I showed you today. And finally, listen to any music that's called Nunc Dimittis. You could start with Palestrina, but if that's not your type of music, then you'll find more contemporary versions. When you listen to the music, just close your eyes. A lot of this music, particularly the Nunc Dimittis, is ethereal. It's not sort of headbanging music. It's often sung a cappella or with a bit of orchestral support. So put one on. The ones I've listened to over the last week go for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, depending. And just calm yourself down. Just let the music sort of wash over you. Picture Simeon, this old man in the temple, receiving the baby in his hands and going, my word, this is what I've waited for all my life. Here is the Lord's Christ. Here is a light to the Gentiles, and your heart is beating. And then he says, I can depart in peace now, Lord. I've seen everything I needed to see. Just let the music wash over you. Take your time. Let the Lord speak to you. What Simeon helps us understand is that to see Jesus is to see God's salvation. And then once you see that, you can depart in peace. Amen.